We're going to do something today. I mentioned this is going to be a Baltics Day. The Baltics, three countries that were former Soviet satellite countries, Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia. And so if I could have the team come up here, ladies and gentlemen, you guys can, if you want to stay where you are, you're close, but you can come up here too if you want. So we had an interesting team together. And we had guys and gals and families and you name it. So I'm going to kind of give a little... I'll put things like this and then it'll fall because I don't have a pulpit sign. Thanks, man. Okay. So, just a little, I'll give you a little history and a little future here at the same time. We've been going to just Estonia since 2006, first time we went. But we were supporting a missionary there, our pal Miguel Zayas, 4 or 5 years before that. So we have been working there, doing things there for a very long time. And then the way we do missions in the Vineyard Church is by partnerships. And so different churches will take on a country or a nation or a region. And so I said, hey, I'll do Estonia. And ended up with Latvia and Lithuania in the deal. So, and I didn't pass go, and I didn't collect $200. And so we have been, there's the map. That's great. So if you're like me, way back about 2001 when we first started doing this, I wasn't sure exactly where Estonia was. I knew it was a former satellite of the Soviet Union, but you can see if the next one up, all that blue water is the Baltic Sea. Finland's up there, and then Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania, but they all border on Russia. And so you can imagine things that happened, Ukraine and that kind of things, it shakes things up there just a little bit. But we spent most of our time, especially in the early years, in Tallinn, which is the capital city of Estonia. And that is a map of Tallinn. They were kind of like, it'd be like Riverside, Gladstone, Platte City, you know, that kind of thing, like townships or small, but areas. And right, the second one up from the bottom here, you see Nome, and then you see Mustamäe. And that's where Vineyard Tallinn, the church, is located. Thank you, John, right there. And it's interesting, we've moved the church around a number of times. This is the third time we've been in the same township or county type of thing. So I think that must be where we're supposed to be. And you need to know that one of the things that we've done that has been blessing and difficulty at the same time is that first time I went, way back in the day, there were a number of Americans there. Trying to get churches going and stuff like that. Missed them a bunch. And there aren't very many that are doing that anymore. And we did something, we being us, I guess, and the people in Tallinn, where we're buying a building. The building church has been there 20 years now, but got the building about 10 years ago. And so it makes a statement like, we're here, we're going to be here, and we are you, because the pastor lives here. It's not somebody can come and go and all that kind of stuff. That's pretty important. So I can still walk down there. Long time ago, when Kathy was really, really sick, really bad off in Omaha, and just fighting for her life for 20 months. But she's here. She made it. So, yes. Yeah. And I was in good communication with Miguel about the church in Estonia, but I said, man, I can't, it's not like, I can't come. I can't come. I said, but we're going to get out of here, and she's going to get well, and when she gets well, I'll come. Well, she was getting well a little slower than he appreciated, I think, but anyway, we finally went, and I went out of, hey, we were supporting him and stuff, but it's kind of out of an indebtedness. I promised him I'd come, and during this time, you know, we ended up ordaining him and sending him out, you know, all that kind of stuff, and I got over there, and didn't mean to, but when I left, I found my aorta was intolerant. I'd left part of my heart there, and I couldn't get past it, and it changed what we did about missions and how we did missions and our focus and all that kind of stuff. And then, this is a funny little story, but I'm really dumb sometimes. I have to have really clear instruction to do something. And when Kathy was in the hospital all that time, I said, get out of here, we're going to go to Maine. That was our favorite place. Well, we did. And we were staying in Bahaba. In English, that's Bar Harbor. But there it's Bahaba. And I was up early in the morning on Cadillac Mountain, which is part of the Acadia National Park. And there's a mountain inside the park, which is a cool thing. You got the ocean. Atlantic Ocean is part of the park, and this mountain's part of the park. And if you can't pray there, you just go away. Just go away. So I'm up praying real early one morning, sitting up there waiting for the sun to come up and all that kind of stuff. And I had a little, what I call a voluntary vision, where I was awake, but I was not really aware I was awake. And in my mind's eye, I saw a picture of, I'm bad at this, of a little leather bag with a pull string on it. And so in my mind's eye, I open it up. Inquiring minds want to know. And it was full of jewels. And I thought, oh, wish this was real. I knew I was seeing something. And I felt like the Holy Spirit said, pick up the green one. Emerald, whatever. So I picked up the green one. And on the back of the green one, it always gets me, were the picture of these two young ladies, Maria and Helena, people that we'd met, and they got Velcroed to us and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, that's me praying for them. Cool. Thank you, John. That's really cool. Anyway, I didn't know this the first night we were there. We were up 42 hours, and Miguel had a meeting that night. So we're up 42 hours, and we have a meeting. And at the end of the meeting, I'm fine. And he says, now Pastor John's going to prophesy over everybody. I couldn't spell my name. I mean, it'd been hours since I cast a shadow. I mean, I was... but the Lord gave me a word for those two young ladies. I didn't even have their names. I had to go to the lady in the church to get their names. That's how clued in I was. But something happened there. And I knew when I picked that jewel up and looked at it, that I knew in my heart it wasn't just about them. It was about this generation. And that we were supposed to go after this generation there. So that's why we're there, and that's why we keep going back. And it's really cool now, those girls, they have two or three kids apiece, and all that kind of stuff, and I'm Uncle Somebody, and but the connection and the relationships that we were able to forge there, a lot of these people now are coming into leadership and that kind of stuff, and it's a really, really cool thing. So we're there by the word of the Lord is what I'm trying to say. Well, did that really happen? Did you really see that? Yeah, I really did. I don't know if I believe that or not. I don't care. I mean, it's not essential to. It was the prodding I needed to know what to do and how to do that. So when, yeah, that's cool. So here's the deal. One of the things that makes this so important is that in the vineyard, more of a fellowship of churches than it is a denomination. There's a minimal amount of structure. But that's one of the reasons we're a part of it. But they have things like this. If you're in a country like the United States, Great Britain, Germany, right on down the line, if you get like 25 churches or so, it depends on the area, then you have an association of vineyard churches. And there is one in the United States. We're part of that one. There's one in the UK. There's Germany. I forget how many, but a number of others. And there was one that was called the Nordic Association of Vineyard Churches, and it was housed in Stockholm and for a long time. And so we would go back and forth. We were sowing into the Baltic states there and the churches and the pastors there. But, you know, we're 7,500 kilometers away. So we encouraged them to be part of whatever they could be part of, and Stockholm was the closest thing. Well, just because of the way things happen and things change, they've decided to put that Nordic Association of Vineyard Churches that was housed in Stockholm to rest for a couple of years. And so that doesn't exist. So there isn't anything coming out of them towards the other churches. The closest ones would be, you know, some of the Baltic churches. And so we're it. We are it. If there's help coming there from churches here, it's us. Now, there's a caveat to that. A lot of you guys remember Ryan Snow, who was our youth guy here for. They have done some things in Latvia with Kuzan. Great. But they're not formally part of the partnership yet. We'll work on that too. So it's really significant. I text this morning Pastor Anthony Jessup, who's pastors the church in Tallinn, and Kuzan and Klarin, who planted the first vineyard church in Latvia, and it's up and running. And then our dear brother, Gilvanus, who's just the hero of the whole deal. He's overseeing like three churches and a house church and working a full-time job. And I text them all this morning. I said, hey, we're having a team meeting this morning. So if your ears are burning, you're right. It's just us bragging about you. So feel free to burn their ears, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So anyway, that's kind of why we're there. That's where it is. Now we're going to talk a little bit about what happened this summer. So if I can have you gentlemen, that excludes you. We're going to let these guys, since they're family, this couple, talk together. So guys, why don't you come up here and make sure everybody can see. You might want to tell them who you are, Caleb.
I'm Caleb Weber.
You're good. You are. He was when we went there, and he still is. And Tom, you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, I'm Tom DeFeo. I just got a question.
Go.
I'm Italian. Are you sure you want to give me a microphone?
John knows how to shut it off, apparently. So these guys were roomies, and we did a lot of things together. We did church services for a church called Elisha Training Center, which is not a vineyard church, and Harta Church, which I'll talk a little bit more when we get there, and then Vineyard Tallinn, who had two things going with them. So, yeah, I don't need that, Caleb. You do. But so let's talk about the first church we ministered to, which would have been the Elisha Training Center. Anything that you remember, saw, were impacted by, that you would want to let people know about?
So Elisha Training Center, pastored by a lady named Lydia, wonderful lady. They're in like a basement at the bottom of this apartment building, and I've been there three times. Every time we go, we pray for everybody in the place. It's great. And everybody stays the entire time while we pray for everybody in the place.
Start at 11, left at 3.
Yeah. I'm looking at John for permission, but I'm about to go off on a rabbit trail, but I feel like I have permission.
You got the mic.
So the elders prayed for us like the Sunday before we left, and John brought up the thing about no more Nordic Vineyard Association for a while. And one of the elders, I forget who, prayed something about the mantle of ministry. And I don't know about anybody else, I felt it land like a physical thing. And I was praying things for people I'd never prayed before, praying in ways for people I'd never prayed before. It was really cool.
Yeah, it was very cool. It really was. Tom, how about you? If you think back to that Elisha Training Center, what would you say was a highlight?
The thing about me was we, ministered and it lasted a while, but if we had words for people and they were right, that's what got to me. It affected them. Even some, they came to tears. So that's what I remember about it. Just the people were nice and friendly. They were open to it. And Jesus came and ministered to them. And that was the good time.
I was praying for a guy. Tom and I were praying for this guy. And I forget, I said something. And then Tom said, I see you going down the highway on a motorcycle. Yeah. And the guy looked up and he said, I don't have a car anymore. Motorcycle's all I got. And that meant something to him because he knew none of us knew that. And so that's just happened over and over again.
That brought him to tears, what we said. That word ministered to him and it brought him to tears.
You can hold that. I'll say something. And if you got something else, you do and you don't. While we were there, I woke up that morning. The Lord gave me a word for the church. And I've known these people for a long time. But you have to understand, way back when, still under Soviet rule back when, there was the beginning of a move of God. It happened in St. Olaf's Church, Ola Vista Baptist Church. And it was dramatic. Things were happening, signs, wonders, healings, deliverances, all sorts of stuff. And the Soviets came in to the pastor of the church and the leaders there and said, it's like this. You have this meeting tonight and you will all end up in prison camps tomorrow. And you won't be where your family is and you'll never see them again. Yeah. Well, there were a couple of house meetings going on too, but it was centered out of what began to happen there at the church. I mean, people would come into Tallinn on the train and pray and the Lord would lead them to the place where the meetings were happening. Yeah, but it got shut down. Well, the lady that's the leader of this church was one of the worship leaders of home churches at that time and got in on that. Miguel's wife, Mai, got saved in that move of God. Now, it didn't get to be countrywide or even citywide because it got shut down, but they carry something in their heart about what's supposed to happen in Estonia. And that's why this is a little church, it's, 30 people, maybe something like that. But we go and we go back because they're carrying something and they're looking for something. And it was great. They just wept because girls would have a word, somebody else would have it, and they just like popcorn, that would feel something in the other person. And, well, you didn't just wind them up, turn, go, man. That happened in ways that they called and said later that there was just a whole nother level of the touch of the Lord. And they said that to us, and they said that also to us when we were at the heart of church. So, and these guys were great, praying for people, bold enough, not worried about, I got to get an interpreter because this person only speaks Estonian. That didn't stop anybody. So I was kind of the coach, but I was really proud of what was happening. And in both of those situations that weren't the Vineyard Tallinn Church, people, the leaders came to me and said, those guys are hearing from the Lord. They had no way. We prayed for one man's brother, and Tom had a bunch of stuff for him, and it was like the woman at the well, told him everything he ever did type of thing. And he came over to me and he said, that's right. And I said, okay, good. That's what we wanted. So it was really an encouraging thing for them to be prayed for by people they don't know. and for the Lord to show and speak in such a fashion that he knew their stuff and they really felt loved on and they really felt helped because these guys didn't know. So anything else you want to add to that? You don't have to. Okay, cool. All right, well, you guys, we'll have the ladies come up then. Can we do that? Yay, ladies. Probably save you for last on this one. Yep. Tell them who you are, Noelle, would you please?
I'm Noelle Fridley. Trace and Stephanie are my parents, so you all know them.
I'm Donna Wadley.
Heather Bunce.
So, either of the services, you would think about either of the churches, any of the churches we worked at, I thought we maybe touch Elisha first, but you can do whatever you'd like. Just something that you carried away, something you saw, heard, felt.
I think probably my favorite experience this year was at Hearted Church. We hadn't been there since 2019, I think.
Yeah.
COVID and everything, and there was a lot of stuff going on, but I think it was just so sweet to, Pastor John came back, and this was the first time they're all seeing each other in person, and just seeing, like, Raymond, like, his face, like, there was, like, a glow about him, and it was so sweet, and then just, he just, like, started telling us stories about the revival that happened there, and, like, the upper room that they had in their house, and everybody filled the yard, and, like, all these things, and I was just like, whoa, like, God wants to do that again in Estonia, and so... I was super encouraged by that, and then we also got to hear a bit more of, like, Lydia's story. She runs the Elijah Church, and just how, like, all their stories kind of intertwine was so cool just to make some connections with that, and I also loved getting to see all the kids again. This is my fifth time going, and so a lot of them were, like, really small when I started going, and now they're, like, graduating high school and all these things, so it was super sweet.
Yeah, that was a real cool thing. One of the young ladies that we've known a little bit, known her parents, was graduating from high school, and they got to go to the graduation. Yes. It was really a sweet thing. Yeah. Go ahead, Don, I'm sorry.
This was my second time going. I went in 2017, so like you, seeing a lot of the children had grown up a lot. But the neatest thing that happened to me was when we went to Lydia's church. We got through singing and praising, and we were starting to pray for people. And I've spoken in tongues twice before. But one girl got slain in the spirit, and as she went down, my body went forward, and I just started speaking tongues so fast. I've never spoken that fast before. I've never spoken like that ever. And I told Pastor John, I said, I've spoken it twice before, and each time it was different. I said, and even this time was different. And he was just like, okay. But I remember him saying, whenever I was praying in tongues, that what I was saying was healing. And I just prayed until I was done for each person that I touched on their arm. I had my eyes closed and my hand just voluntarily would go in front of somebody's head or in front of their heart. I was speaking so fast, I was spitting. It was an amazing experience just to have the Holy Spirit pour out of me and then to have the ladies come afterwards and was like, you were the Holy Spirit. And I was like, I'm not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was speaking through me. But it was just a powerful experience to witness everybody have a word for somebody or just to see them. And one of the gals asked me, it's like, did you see anything when you were praying? I was like, no. But I remember opening my eyes once, and in the midst of everybody surrounding the person, there's a cell phone in the middle of it, and they're recording everything. And I just closed my eyes and just kept on going. But every place that we went, I had an experience like that. And even at Harta, It was just powerful, very moving. Everywhere we went, it was just amazing. Yeah, it was amazing.
And I'm last because...
Your picture. The picture I shared, yeah. Yes. So we were at the Elijah Training Center. We were, again, everybody got prayed for. It was very interesting. Our first chance ministering, and it was kind of like Tom became the catalyst. That's my word for him when I think about the trip, because he'd get a word or something, and that would just get us going. And there were several ladies we prayed for. I'm gonna cry, just not even gonna try. This is my second time going to Estonia. The last time I was there, was in 2008 or 2010. It was impactful to some people. I hadn't been there in so long, and the fact that I came back, they remembered me, and I really wasn't expecting that. There's a particular young lady we were praying for, and I feel like I got a billion stories to tell, and how do I start? So usually when I pray for Estonia, because I've been praying for a long time, I get pictures and I draw them. I just keep a notebook I have. And I couldn't find my sketchbook before we left. And so the last thing I threw in my backpack as I walked out the door to catch the plane was a sketchbook, just in case. And we got there, and when we went to Elijah Training Center that Sunday morning, I kept looking at the sketchbook, and I was like, I don't even have pencils. All I had was colored pencils and pens, but I grabbed it, and I took it with me. And this particular lady comes up to be prayed for, and she has this tattoo on her arm, and he kind of knocked me over with a feather. The Lord cared so much for her. That this lady who least listened and heard to grab the sketchbook, but all the way from the United States to Estonia, the cover of my sketchbook was her tattoo.
I'm praying for this gal. And I'm describing this owl and why it's sitting on a clock. It's not about time. It's about timing and stuff like that. And Heather goes, like this. And she has the cover of the book is the tattoo on the lady. And it goes like all the way down. And it's amazing. She, by happenstance, grabbed the book at the last minute, had it in her purse. And it's the same picture. And I said, get out of here. But it really rocked the lady. This was lady was one of the violin player, if I remember correctly, on worship team. And she really wanted her daughter to get prayed for, I think, more than her. But it blew everybody's mind. Like, oh my goodness, what are you saying, Lord, that you would have this brought over from the States so there'd be a confirmation that he really knows and he really cares, he really sees. Yeah. You go ahead.
What was really cool about being there, we talked about 4-hour church service. But what you didn't mention is they were calling people, and like people were showing up. Some of the younger kids and things, like they got on the phone, and people that didn't attend church service were coming to be prayed for. Because the word of mouth that was happening.
Yeah.
I'm just really amazed how we all came together and each did our part. And so much.
Cool. You girls, anybody else want to say anything?
It was a great trip. I mean, last time I went, I basically was there to observe, and this time I interacted more with the people than I did last time, and people remembered me too, and I remembered them, and it was good to put the names and faces of people that I had seen last time. They were still there, and you know, to be remembered, and it was just to see their children have grown up and just everything, and then to see Cooley get filled with the Holy Spirit at the heart of church, and just it was just amazing, and
pretty
just
cool
to pray for all those people, to see the Lord move among all of us and just in us and through us and around us. It was just an amazing experience.
So we're walking towards a restaurant, one of the young ladies you saw in the picture before booked a restaurant for us. We're big enough where we could all sit together. And we're just innocently walking. And you know, there's a lot of little sidewalk cafe things. And so we're just walking, and I get about here, and I turn around, heard something. And here's Daniel, Miguel's oldest son, who lives in the States, sitting at a table. I'm going, get out of Dodge. So I said, hey, Daniel. Well, there was a noisy meeting gathering going on behind him. So he looked behind him thinking someone there, because who would know? So I walked back over him and I said, Daniel. And he looked at me and he goes, that can't be you. I said, moi? Anyway, and then the girls saw him and they remembered him and he remembered them and hadn't seen him for 5 years.
Yeah.
And he didn't look like that 5 years ago.
Right.
Unfortunately, I did look like that. And so we hugged each other, went our merry way, and about 45 minutes, an hour later, we ran into him again. I said, you tell your dad he should have been over here. But it was really cool because it was like a remembrance type of a thing. I know Daniel good. I've known him, you know, since he's a little boy. In fact, this is one of my favorite stories, so Kathy won't hate me. When he was a younger kid, probably, you know, 14, something like that, we were at this botanical garden thing, and, you know, which was pretty, but we were there because Miguel's wife thought that's where we should go. Kathy was just, we were just walking. She just not saying anything, which is kind of like what she does. And Daniel came up to her and he said, Kathy, why do you look so sad? And she goes, oh, Daniel, there's a party going on in here. And he just about lost it. And he remembered that and told me so. Anyway, so it just, yeah, that's great. I love it. So the idea is, we're getting to know people, so it's just not relating to a place or nation. And you know, we went before, you know, I met with a mayor, and you did, you know, a whole bunch of stuff like that. But it's grassroots where we're touching people and touched by people. And so I'm going to save one thing. If we have more time, I'll do it at the end, okay? So you may all be seated. If you have one more, you can do that first.
Because we mentioned St. Daniel. The one thing that I noticed at every church we ministered at, there were three generations there, at least. In some cases, there were four. And we were talking about the generations earlier. So when I went back in 2010, I painted a mural in the nursery of one of these children, who's now a teenager. And when I painted, again, I get pictures. I got a particular scripture. And I shared it with his father. And every year I've asked about his dad. And people hadn't seen him in years. And I heard that he was going to be at dinner. He was waiting at a restaurant for us, and my eyes like flew open. Because I have like the little wish list when you haven't been somewhere in a while, you don't know when you're gonna get back. You're like, God, I'd really like, you know. But he was there outside the restaurant, and I walked up and I said, I don't know if you remember me. And he said, Heather. And I said, yeah. He says, that scripture that you gave me, I have it memorized. He knows it by heart. And that scripture, he looks over his son's life and he sees that scripture. It's humbling. Because that young man's grandmother is the pastor at Elijah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And is the son of one of those two teenagers who are no longer teenagers. But yeah.
Cool. So. That's awesome. Thank you, ladies. It's time for the Fridleys. These guys have just done so much for us. There were times when I couldn't go. Kathy had leukemia, I had shingles, and they went and represented us incredibly well, kept the fires burning, kept things going. And it's so great now because my friends are our friends, you know, we can talk about people, not just like talk about them, but we can refer things, and we know who we're talking about and what's happening, and so it's really cool. So we love these guys, and you can say as much as or little as you like.
Oh, you go first.
First. Man of many words. I was thinking back, 17, 18, first time we went, and the second time I went, we got there, landed, you're punch drunk, you know, from flying and missing a night of sleep, and Lord dumped on me with heart first Tony.
Mm-hmm.
And also Stephanie in a different time. And it was like, okay, Lord, what's that? What are you doing? What's that mean? I had to look up Estonia, where it's at, like anybody else. Don't know where it's at. And it's been a road of interesting things, establishing relationships, meeting people, coming back, some people not there, some people there, and then continue on with those relationships is very interesting. And people would say, well, what are you going, what are you doing? I said, I don't know, God's got a plan. And I kind of look at it as like, we take a cup of water, the living water that Jesus gives, like the woman at the well says, you'll thirst no more. And we pour a drop on, maybe a glass, maybe, you know, it's interesting how Ken gave us a word a couple years ago that we were going to take, God was going to give us packages to take, and that the giver and the receiver both be blessed. And it's so true how when the Lord uses you, it's nothing we're doing, but being open and willing to what he has to minister to people. And it's just amazing. When I look at the pictures, I think of somebody like this right here. It's like, got to pray with Amanda. She's an American gal. And Sergey, right? And they're doing a ministry outside of Tallinn that's probably an hour away, maybe. And we got to go back. We took Noel to Narva. We wanted to kind of see that, which is bordering on Russia and Estonia. And on our way back, said, well, let's just stop and see them and say hi. And it was a really cool moment where he got to spill his heart. She spilled her heart. We got to pray for them. And it was like, man, the Lord just dumped. It was so cool how he just poured out. And you go, it's you, Lord. I mean, he says, go, and he'll pour through us. And that's the cool thing is, like, we don't have the gift. We don't have the abilities. You know, you feel like, well, who am I to give, be poured out? But neat to see, you know, I see pictures, and every picture has a story. God touched people in every picture, and it's just amazing what God does when you go. and our group was a lot bigger this year, which was wonderful. We had more people to pray and minister, and you know, go, hey Lord, we got the apple dumpling gang, what are we going to do, you know? And it was so cool because, you know, you go, okay, we're a group of people, don't know each other real well, and I go, wow, Lord used each one in amazing ways.
Yes.
And Tom, you're my star player. I mean, Tom had a word for almost every single person that we prayed for. And it could be simple, complex, but you could just see the Lord pour through him and touch that person, and just tears come. And you're like, wow. And so many stories and so many neat things happen. Where do you start and end? You know, but it's like, what are we? You know, when we go into the world in our neighborhoods or where we live or Estonia, it's like where that water pours through us, the Spirit of the Lord pours through us, breathes life into people, encouragement. And going back, and something's different every year, and these teenage girls have kind of grown up, there's a couple of them just want to hug me and love me, and I'm like, okay, that's odd, you know, but draw me little pictures of cats and things and send them back to me, you know, and they're so sweet, and yet the enemy is trying to tear them down so much. And so we pray for them and love them and just loving up on people. Sometimes they just need a hug. Sometimes they need that drop of water. Sometimes they need a glass of water. And it's so wonderful what happens each time. And And Helena, after the group left, we got together with her and Maria a couple of times, and it was the weirdest thing. Helena was just like hugging me, like, don't go, stay longer, yeah. You know? And I'm like, yeah. What is this, Lord? What? And it's that, her need for the Father, you know? And we were there to give some of that and love upon her and bless her. And her course of life has been through many things and hardships and pains, but the Lord has not given up on them.
That's right.
And then neat to see the relationships that have formed through our times there, and I feel blessed just to be part of that, a little part of it, and to hand out a little bit of water to each one and encourage and bless people that just need a little bit of life. I mean, every morning we get up and go, another hard day. I mean, we all kind of go, got to get traction, got to push forward, got to seek God, got to fill us up. And it's so wonderful how he fills us up, and then it overflows. You know, it's like the vessel just pours out. And so cool to be part of that. When you go, it's like there's like supercharged or 440 volt, you know, flowing through you, and you can't help but get a little of that residue on you, which is like, okay, wow. And you're blessed as much as they are. So thank you everyone for their prayer support, financial support for our teams going there. It's doing neat things. Sometimes it's not seen too much, but in the secret places, God's doing awesome things in people's hearts and lives.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yes. Yeah, we had, I think the Apple Dumpling Gang was a very cute expression, honey. I remember that movie from the 70s or 80s or whatever, and kind of, me too. But you know, it's one of those things where God forms a team, and you don't always understand or know everybody, or, you know, like Tom, we've just kind of gotten to know Tom, and, you know, Heather, we've kind of known a little bit, and then Donna, we've known, and of course, Caleb and our daughter, but it was so amazing to see how God took us all, he used our gifts, and it just intertwined like this. And, you know, when you go, you know, you've got the time change, you've got the adjustment to new culture, you know, new time zone, new, you know, everything that's kind of going on, and like, this was Tom's first time, you know, and the rest of us have been before. And so, you know, you're kind of juggling getting there and doing everything, and then boom, you hit the road running. And so we started on that Sunday, you know, we did the Elijah Church, and then we did the, that evening, Yanapov, we went with the church and stuff. So we had a lot of things right at the get-go. And I mean, and we're pretty wiped out and jet-lagged. And so, like, you know, our bodies are thinking it's, you know, 3 in the morning and it's like 12 there and operating. But, you know, it was so sweet how the Holy Spirit, he does. He fills you up to pour out. And the verse is Proverbs 11, 16, 16, 11. I can't remember exactly, but it's like he refreshes those who pour out. Mm-hmm. And my heart has just been so heavy this morning because I know we've had a hard last few days. And when I think about it in the generations, it's like we have to pour out people. A lot of times we don't feel like we have it. What are my giftings? Or, oh, she is so bubbly and blah, 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 blah. Or, oh, he can preach so well and knows all the scripture. God has a purpose in each and every one of our lives. Whether you're in the back row, the front row, the middle row, working the cafe, working with the children, our amazing John and team who always do our stuff to make all these slideshows and things possible. It's like we all have a plan and a purpose. And when I saw how our church came together, when I saw how you people came together to love on the Baker family, this sweet, precious family, their family, like, had the first 3 or 4 rows. We were the hands and feet. God filled us up in our morning to pour out to this precious family. And then when I think about Estonia and Latvia and Lithuania, where there is so much hopelessness, yes, we have great church connections there and great people, but there are so many people who don't have Jesus. They don't have a community like we have. What we had was so precious. You know, we have another family that lost a son earlier this year, and our church rallied around them. We lost our dear brother Mike to cancer, and we know cancer sucks, and we hate it, but our church came together. And it's so important, you guys. We need each other so bad. You don't have to go to a foreign country. We have it right here.
So just thank you for being amazing people. Thank you for loving and embracing. And when we get new people that come on, we got to come in, we got to just get out of our comfort zones and love on them right where they're at, which we all do, and we really do try very well. So don't feel like we all want you to come to Estonia with us. It's not that, but it's one of those things where, you know what? Missions is everywhere. And I know many of you were here when I shared last year. You know, it's one of those things where we serve right here in our communities where we're at. We serve in our families. We serve in our church body. We serve in our workplaces. We serve in our community. Getting to do Harvesters, a plug for this coming Saturday. Come and show up at 7:15 and help out. But it's a great way just to serve and to pour on people. And sometimes it's just the smile and joy in your face, just putting something in their car. Sometimes it's that simple little act, that simple little word that someone says. It could be a stranger, and some of those things impact us for always. So we got a lot of amazing older people here, a lot of amazing faithful people. There still is a plan and a purpose. Your prayers, all those sweet people, Bill, that you would talk to when you worked at the grocery store sharing the love of Jesus, that's powerful. That's missions. Sorry, my heart is just kind of thing. But back to what we were talking about, our mission trip. It was amazing to get to work with these people and with our pastor. And like my husband said, every time we kind of think, okay, we don't want to just go because we love going. You know, we want to know that it's the Lord that's put it in our hearts to go. And I'm always there. I'm like, send me, I'll go. For my husband, he's a little bit like, okay, I got to make sure. Got to make sure, you know. And what's so sweet is God tells him and puts it on his heart. There was a picture, John, that you showed, and I don't know that you can get back to it. It was a picture at a table. We were having breakfast with Wendy Mason. Is that their name? Wendy Mason? Mm-hmm. With Maria and Helena and a couple of their kids. That morning is when the Lord poured it on my heart to go and to go for longer. And either within that 24-hour period was when it happened to Trace. That's not the one, but that's a great picture. that was like our touristy place at Harda. But you know, when we do get to go and love on these people and we show up every time, it means something. You're not just going in to go do the good work and to, you know, do things. I mean, like, I love how Pastor John says it. I hope it's okay to say this. It's not like a sexy mission trip where you get to go and build a house for a widow, dig a well, which those are incredible things, and I've done lots of missions like that. Those are powerful because they're practical. They meet that practical need. But this one is you go to pour into their hearts. These people, like, they don't want to have, in Estonia, they want to have nothing to do with Christianity because they were ruled by the Russians. They were ruled by the Germans. Then back to the Russians, like, we are going to be our own rulers, our own national pride, right, for our country. Having mental issues, and you're just like, God, why? But we know the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But our God is greater. Our God is stronger. And you know what? For everything that we get ripped off of, he is going to bless us sevenfold. Hundredfold. We'll take it into the people in Estonia. Okay, that is the picture when I, right before this, I was having an inside spiritual meltdown. You can't tell it from this picture. I'm like, God, what are you doing? What is going on? Like, I felt like I literally was going to throw up, but not like food throw up. But you know, like sometimes the Holy Spirit comes upon you, like, what is this going on? And it was like this download. Okay, the download hasn't all processed, but it started. And I'm just like, here I am, Lord, send me. Use me. God, you know it takes money, you know it takes time, but you know what? He has provided every single time. And I'm just like, in the sweetest of ways, every single year, every single time. So, just a little side note, many of you prayed for me when we went to Guatemala. Trace wasn't here. We had a great time. They built a chicken coop for a widow. So see, I mean, great things happen. And then we got to just minister to these 9 parents that live in these little homes. They each have 12 to 13 children in the casas that are on the James Project there in Guatemala. And I'll tell you, when you want to talk about rock stars, people that live out for Jesus, they have these 12 or 13 kids that have come out of the most horrific things, being either raped, molested by their fathers and uncles, maybe tried and being killed, being trafficked, being abused, all these different things. And these families take these kids in and try to give them what this love is like in a family. And they have a, you know, a kitchen and a dining room and stuff and their little chores. And it was beautiful. So us girls kind of ministered on site. The guys went off site. Thank you for your prayers for that, because we got to show the love of Jesus. I randomly, since the last time I shared, I got to go to Peru to do this English immersion camp. I don't have a picture, sorry. I'll get that somewhere someday to you guys. But you know what? When God puts something on your heart, don't let it just sit there. Ask him, what do you want me to do with that? And in this English camp, these missionaries have this casita. They have all the kids come. There were 25, I shouldn't say kids. They were aged 10 to 29, 39. They all had different levels of English. And so we get to go in as the English teacher. I'm not a teacher, but I taught. It was good. But you get to share your faith. And it's so sweet. And to see some of these kids that, you know, one comes from a family of witches, one, or, you know, history, another one, you know, maybe the family's breaking up, or they, you know, the families might be broken up, you know, the nuclear unit. We're so blessed to have a family here, families, a church family. And this missionary couple tries to do this. Well, I'm happy to say that I am going again, and I even recruited this guy over here to come. He's like, I'm not a teacher. I said, that's okay. I can take care of your teaching class for you. But you have what some of those boys need. Some of those girls need to see just a Christian man. Okay, we're older, we're frumpy, okay, but we love you. We're gonna come and we're gonna serve you the best we can, okay? I might not be able to run the obstacle race. However, I did win the balloon tossing contest. That was pretty cool. So anyhow, I stretched beyond my limits. Fortunately, I didn't sprain an ankle or anything like that, you know, but kind of reeling it back in. I'm excited that we get to go do that. But you know, it's really just being here together for each other and living out, loving God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength. And sometimes that's hard to do. Sometimes I'm just weary. I don't even have the words to pray. Even the last couple of days, you're just like, oh, but God, you know. He holds our hearts in his hands. He holds our plans in his hands. Things are a season. You know, the night, I do have to share this one story. The night that we got engaged, we're down at the plaza. He was acting weird, but I knew it wasn't engaged tonight because he said he didn't have the money for the ring. But we went down. Long story short, he proposed. There was a sweet little Taiwan couple there. They took their picture with us. We go have dinner, and we go back to this little place, you know, with the fountains. I'm down there at the plaza, and there's this couple there. And long story short, they just had an affair together. They were brother and sister-in-law. One's divorced, one's the process of divorce, and I guess in the midst of their pain, you know, they hooked up. But you know what? They knew Jesus, and we got to have a conversation about Jesus on that night. And I just take that as a token. Here we go. Fast forward 28, 29 years is when we finally get some of those things that God gave promises to us that are unfolding and that we get to do together. So if you have promises and you have a heart, don't give up. You pray into it. And sometimes you might not be the person that gets to do it, but you might be the person that gets to sow into it. Financially, prayer-wise, we have an amazing prayer team. If you come to Saturday morning prayer, it's the most amazing group. Yes, Dan. Yes, it is just amazing how we rally together. And Scott Belke, our elder, oh my gosh, he is precious. He always has a timely word, a timely teaching, but then we pray and we rally. We lift up the good things. We lift up the hard things. Be involved. Don't just sit here. Be involved. We always need volunteers. Greet. Come greet with me. You know, one Sunday a month or something, we just, it takes all of us together. And I know we're in times of transition, but everyone, God has good things for us. It's an honor to be able to serve with our pastor and to go and see him in action. And let me tell you, is he ever a rock star in the spirit? And it's not like we go and they go, whoo, but you know what? Everybody honors and respects Pastor John. They look forward to his coming. They look forward to our team coming. God puts it on your heart. Start saving money. It's usually $2,700 by the time you do airfare, hotel, spending money and things. But I'll tell you what, it's not about the money. It's about our hearts going and pouring into these people that need to be encouraged, the ones that have the boots on the ground, that need to go like, oh, they're here. It just, you know how it is. It just, when you get together in numbers, it just strengthens you. It just powers you. And you're like, I can do this, you know? And then we go a whole another year and we get to go back again and to do it. And, you know, we only got to go for 2 weeks this time. And I tell you what, we both came back and go, oh, that was so short. And because of life circumstances, we just couldn't go as long this time. But it's a beautiful time to get to serve with our pastor, to serve with each other, see everyone's gifts in action and the girls, you know, oh, no. know, and she brings the little bracelet things, you know, to make like the little bracelets, and, you know, we try to bring some little fun things to do, and every year is different. Sometimes we have outreaches, sometimes we just do women's ministry, and Sarah's here. Sarah's done many, there was a picture earlier, Sarah's done a lot of women's ministry events there at Vineyard Church, and so, you know what, we just give to pour out, and I just want to encourage you guys, pour out. He will fill you up to pour out, so don't stop. Keep on. Keep your eyes on the sun, and let's just press on, and let's serve together. Continue being an amazing family together, and thank you for letting me share.
Awesome. Thank you, Seth. It's what she said. We were discussing going, and Tom approached me way back when I announced we were going to go, and he says, I've never been out of the country. I'd like to go, but should I do that? And I said, I don't know. I said, well, do you have a passport? And he said, no. I said, well, get one, because you can't go if you don't have one. And I thought, he probably won't do it. He did. And then I said, he said, I don't know, but I've never done anything like this. And I said, I just want you to chill, take a step back, and watch. Because here's what the Lord does. He takes a group and he makes it a team. And when you see the teamwork, you'll go, this is why I'm here. And it's exactly what happens, because this group had never been there. It's all together at the same time, and it really worked. You wouldn't have known that. You would have thought we've been doing this for 20 years and, you know, all together, all at the same time. But just to, if I can just do just this a little bit. Why there? Why are we going there? You know, if you take Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia, and if you remove, as the surveyors and the statisticians do, they take out non-evangelical churches, which would be the Orthodox Church, and for them, Catholic Church, where it's not about being born again, you know, evangelical Christians. And if you take those out, and then you figure out how many evangelical born-again Christians there are in the country, it's less than 1% of the population. So, like, you can either go, oh my gosh, that's awful, or you can say, oh wow, everybody's a potential customer. Right? And it really is that way. I had a chance. We talked about Yanipov. It's St. John's Day. It's the summer solstice. And they do that. It's like kind of like the 4th of July, only it's 2 or 3 days long, because you have the day before, the day of, and then recovery for most of the public. And there was a young man there. I don't remember his name. Big dude. So I'm up there talking to him like that. And I'm assuming he's one of the new guys in the church that I hadn't met yet. He wasn't. He was a friend of a guy who was in the church. And this guy was a total atheist. And I'm talking to this guy, I'm getting him in, and I was, you know, trying to reel him in a little bit. And I said, I have this concept. He said, well, I was born in Estonia. I've lived in Estonia for 25 years. This last year, he had been in Germany because he had a girlfriend who moved to Germany, and so he moved to Germany. That's not too unusual for, it'd be like going from Kansas to Colorado. You know, it's not that far. But anyway, and I said, well, I have this theory that Estonians, in particular, because of they've had to fight to keep their language and fight to keep their nation, they have this on steroids nationalism where they love their language and they love their country, and that has closed a door for the Holy Spirit and for God. And he just looked at me and he said, I've never thought of that. I thought, well, I really didn't expect you to. But then he looked at me and he said, you know, you're right. Because I told him about the 1% thing. He said, I've been here 25 of my 26 years. I have one friend that would be what you would call a born-again Christian. One in 25 years. Wow. Yeah, and I just, I'm going, well, thanks for telling me that. You know, you're validating what I'm thinking. And I'm going, oh my God, that's horrible. And then, of course, I realized he's not. And I said, we prayed for the food and, you know, kind of broke up a little bit. And I said, I'd like to talk to you again sometime. I said, that'd be great. Because he was I think people had tried to, you know, scalp him or something. But it was really cool. On the way out, we were going to the car, and we had to go pick up Anthony's parents from the airport. And here's this big guy standing there. Stand up, Caleb, will you? At least this big. And I kind of nodded to him. He was on the phone, so I didn't tell him. But I went by, I popped him like that. You can sit down now and don't return the... And I said, gotcha. He looked at me. I thought, I hope I get to see this guy again. Because I'm telling you, the whole population is like that. And so people say, well, you know, we ought to be over here. Kids are starving. We ought to be... And you go there because that's good. Good for you. That's where you're supposed to go. But this is... In America, how many times have we prayed, oh, Lord, restore us. Bring us back to a place of, you know, like the Great Awakenings or, you know, the Welsh Revival. You know, they've never had one like that where the whole nation got touched. They don't have anything to go back to because they've never had one. So that's our purpose. Our purpose there is to awaken things. And that's so interesting to me that the Lord has somehow connected us with people who were involved in the one little move of God that did happen, and we're connected with them. Yes. And what was really startling to me is that Pastor Ryman, who's the pastor at the Heart to Church, he said, you're involved in it. All these people know you, and you know all these people. And I said, son of a gun. So, but if I can say this, nobody else is going there. Especially these little churches that are 30 people, you know, that's, you don't go there to do that. But you know what? That's where the coals are.
Yes. Right.
Stir the coals, you can light the fire. Yeah. And so I really believe we're, it's one of those for such a time as this thing, that we're supposed to be able to make some of these connections. And if I can say it, there are people there who desperately want a move of God, but not very many, because there's just not very many there. Some years ago, the Lord told me to pray to see 7,000 people get saved there in the nation of Estonia. And I was a little younger and a little dumber, and I said, only 7,000? Don't you care? And then I go there a few times and see how hard it is, and I thought, oh my God, 7,000? I can remember Kuzan called me. This is probably 10 years ago. He was in Estonia at the time working in villages. And Pastor John, we lead one person to the Lord this year. He said, 6,999 left. But he said, this is harder. I said, yeah, but we need the breath of God. We need the touch of God.
Yes.
We had a chance to go to Latvia this year, and we didn't do any services. We just went there and loved on the people that are already doing it. That's a good part of what we do, because it's hard beating this anvil all year long. And we had a really good time, and it was perfect. And they're going to be in the States in October and have a chance to connect with them again. We didn't get a chance to go to Lithuania this year. The last time we went, we did, and it's a whole different atmosphere, but very much the same, very much having been under the thumb of the Soviets, very much non-evangelical Christians in the population, and it's not in the 1040 window. People aren't, they're not prayer targets. People think God was in Europe and he's gone. And so they just pass that by. And church has been dead in parts of Europe for a long, long time. If you read books and listen to people talk, that's what they'll tell you. Well, you know what? All the people that came here from there. Right? So isn't it cool that people from here should go there and stir it back up? So I just want you to know there's real plan and purpose in us being there. I think there's opportunity and there's responsibility, and both are there, and we have an opportunity to embrace responsibility. So I think, and I'm just, I got the mic, I guess I can say it. Yeah, mic. Okay, cool. I can grab the mic. One of the reasons we've got to get all empowered financially, because we got all sorts of things that we can do, and we need to embrace the responsibility so we can release the privilege.
I had a dream about a year ago, and a group of seven or eight of us were in Estonia, walking down a sidewalk, if they have sidewalks, basically looking at window shopping kind of stuff. And John was in the front, I was kind of behind him, and seven or eight were just trailing in line. And we got jumped, and there were two guys, have I told you this?
Uh-uh.
We had two guys with knives that wanted to rob us, wanted to mug us. And I looked at John, I looked at the group, and I said, please forgive my language. And I stepped in front of John, and I began to speak bad to them, bad words about their stupidity and whatnot. And I said, do you know who this guy is? And they're looking like, said, do you know who his boss is? I said, you guys have really messed up, because I guarantee your boss knows who his boss is. And you guys are in trouble. And the best you can do is turn around and walk away now. And you tell your boss that you saw John Brown today. And you ask him who John's boss is. And don't ever do this again. And these guys dropped their knives, not to the ground, but down, and stuck them away and turned around and just rapidly walked away. So there are forces in Estonia that don't like what's going on. There's a strong man over the Baltics who doesn't like what's going on. But I guarantee you that strong man knows who John's boss is. And he knows that it's a real battle and his time is short. So you don't have to go there, but we must pray there. We must pray for the team, for the leadership, for protection, because it's a real war. And if you want to learn more, then come to my class on the battlefield. Power weapons.
My boss says it's time for me to quit talking. Yeah, thanks, Mike. That was really cool. I could tell you a whole bunch of stories. I would love to tell you the word that the Lord gave me for the Heart of Church when we went, and it was like, yeah, the real deal. And the issue is, if he's doing something there and we have the open doors and the connections, then it's just going to continue to expand. And I think it's important. I mean, I've had a chance to speak at bigger places and over the years, and I mean, the biggest church in, anyway. What seems to happen is that he's giving us doorways into people that would be overlooked, because they need somebody to look over. Mm-hmm. And so I can't explain to you how important it is that we have gone and then gone back and gone back and gone back.
When you say that to us every time we go,
yeah, it's you keep coming back. And I said, well, I'm lost. You don't know where else to go. But the truth is, the Lord hadn't said, no, don't go.
Right.
You know, and so the empowerment is there. And it's like somebody important is coming when we come. I don't know how important we are, but there's a significance there to them because nobody comes. Mm-hmm. And quoting the pastors there now, and if they do come, they don't come back. And I thought, well, okay, we'll be the boomerang guys, and we'll just keep doing it. So we are going to try to do what we feel like the Lord has put before us to do, and I think bigger doors are actually open now and bigger responsibility there because of there's not much European involvement with these countries now. I mean, there wasn't much, and now there isn't any. And so this is just the ripe time for good things to happen. And so sometimes the Lord really does save the best for the last. Oh, what do you mean by last? Well, last would be next. The next thing you do, right? Because you never know what's going to happen. I just think that it's an amazing thing that we got there in the first place, and it's an amazing thing there's been a continuance, and to see things go and grow is kind of fun. It's so amazing to see our little church, which was just a small group of Estonian people, now become an international church. People from 9 different countries when we were there, and they travel in the summertime, so not everybody was there, but 9 different countries, and almost all of those people being internationals who speak English, which changes things so dramatically. You know, you think I preach long, you ought to have to be interpreted. I mean, so 40 minutes is an hour and a half, you know, I wouldn't do that to you, but there you're. So, but I did 15 minutes last time, so it worked. That's a half an hour, but it's still. I think the Lord changing what he's doing even in Vineyard Holland that way, in our little Vineyard church there, and making it so global-ish. It's amazing. You don't know where those people are going because a lot of these work for governments or corporations, you know, that they send people around. I mean, touching people there, they're all being sent somewhere. All of those people will be going somewhere else or back to a home country, but they're going to go with their pockets full when they go. I just think it's an amazing time. So the Lord said he will give Jesus the nations as his inheritance.
Yes.
Psalm 2, that's what it says. And one of the ways he does that is hook us up so that we can be perpetrators of the truth. So, Lord, thanks for being with us this morning. Thank you for your power and your presence. Lord, thank you for the sweetness of your presence this week and all the things that we have done on Thursday, even Friday, Saturday. Lord, I just want to say Friday night was so authored by you. I mean, we threw something together and it was wonderful. Thank you for everybody that's helped and pitched in and done the things that were necessary, oftentimes without even being asked. And so, Lord, I want to say it's kind of like what the Royals are saying. They say, boys are playing some ball. And, Lord, I want to say you're doing something here. And we're on your team.
Yes.
And you're playing some ball. And we bless you for that in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen. I think that's what we'll call today. So God bless you. Thank you so much. See you on Wednesday night.